The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 21st of April, at the start of week five of the coronavirus pandemic lockdown. Just before we broke from the news, I read a tweet from the lovely Amanda Flanders. She said, I hope all the Bunker listeners are well, and was just wondering what is the best and what is the worst part of lockdown. I read some of the replies to that just before the break, but we've had loads more coming in, so do keep them coming in. It's a fantastic question, Amanda. Thank you so much for asking it. I've read quite a few, but there's more coming in. Tracy Ferguson, where have you gone, Tracy? Oh, there you are. Best is the time to be creative, both personally and with my business, and spending more virtual FaceTime with friends. But she says the bad bit is missing my boys, missing social connection, missing hugs. Yeah, absolutely. Blimey. We've got loads. We've got loads of tweets about something completely different now. Let's see what we've got here. What's caused this? Here it is. There's a tweet from Athelbray, and it says, Vanilla Ware Business Bunker, National Cup of Tea Day and Guide Dogs are running a virtual tea party from 3 till 4 p.m. this afternoon. What they're asking for is a selfie with your cup of tea and your pooch, if you have one. They're going for a Guinness World Record, and if you can, a donation for the price of a cuppa to support them. So this is Guide Dogs, Great Guide Dogs Virtual Tea Party. It's today, the 21st of April, from 3 to 4 p.m., and what you got to do is, by the looks of it, tweet a picky of you with a cup of tea and your dog, and tweet that to @guidedogs. And then make the donation, you know, like £1 or £2, the price of a cup of tea, and make a donation. So do check that out and support that. It sounds like a lot of fun. And they are actually going for a Guinness World Record. So do try and support that. I've had a tweet from Guide Dogs as well. And they say, thank you so much for sharing that. It really is much appreciated. And that's to Athelbray and the Business Bunker Show. Congratulations. I hope it goes really well. Send your selfies of your dog and your tea. I've had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson. Hi, Paul and all at the Bunker. Missed the first half. There was a huge queue at the post office, who are brilliant to keep the service open, so we'll listen to that later. Great to hear the update on the service offered by Digital Beans. It's a fabulous initiative. It certainly is. She sent me a link to a local shop to them, Juliet's Farm Shop, that is now also on your local delivery. So do check that out, yourlocal.delivery, and you can find all of the stores that are now operating through that online service. there's lots of stuff happening now with guide dogs and cups of tea, which is great. So do keep that up. I also got this email from Locate in Kent. And they say Locate in Kent has now linked with 15,000 people in 100 plus countries for a thing called the Global Hack. Locate in Kent represents UK PLC alongside many of the world's leading tech investors, including entrepreneur Sam Altman, former president of Global Accelerator, Y Combinator, and current CEO of OpenAI. Global event provided opportunity to focus attention on Kent and Medway as a location to invest, with the events resulting in strong interest for potential future investment to boost jobs and business opportunities in the county. Locate in Kent brought Kent to the attention of the world for an event billed as the biggest ever online hackathon, sharing a platform with leading tech investors and entrepreneurs from around the globe. The Global Hack brought together 15,000 people from 100 countries in a bid to find global solutions to the impact of coronavirus across a range of subjects, from the environment and governance to the economy and social well-being. And it came together in just 48 hours using the online platform Slack to collaborate, discuss, and turn brilliant ideas into potential actions. Locate in Kent was the only UK inward investment agency to take part, sponsoring the economic track of the event, which included a number of challenges to fire debate, all connected to a central theme of identifying ways to stimulate the world economy under lockdown. Silicon Valley tech entrepreneur Sam Altman, personal investor in global tech brands including Airbnb, Stripe, Pinterest and Change.org, and the futurist Thomas Ermacara were among the big thinkers taking part in the event, alongside thousands of people from a range of business disciplines. Well, that sounds like a fantastic event, and well done to the folks at Locate in Kent. I do know the folks there, and they do a fabulous job of promoting this county to outside investors, especially in the United States, Canada, and other areas of high-tech investment, in terms of trying to bring businesses into the county and to locate here and create jobs here. They do a fantastic job. And the hackathon, the global hackathon, sounds like it was a lot of fun, and what a big event to pull together. I'm going to cover a couple more things, and then we're going to play a track and get our next guest on the line. What have we got? Oh, yeah, the Business Diaries. For those of you not familiar with the Business Diaries, it's an event that normally takes place once a quarter in Medway and Tunbridge Wells, and normally five speakers that tell a story from their personal lives, normally around their business, but not about business per se. Their personal stories, things that have affected people on the journey. It's a fantastic thing. I was reminded last time I mentioned this that it has been going quite a few years now, and I've been to every one of them apart from one, which I missed, which is unfortunate. But it doesn't matter now. Even if you missed them all, you can catch up with them because they've started to turn them into podcasts. And podcast number 4, episode 4, is now available, and it's an interview with the famous Joe Dodds. But all the previous three are available as well. And if you want to listen to those Business Diary podcasts, you can find them all on www.podbean.com/businessdiaries. That's podbean.com, and then search for Business Diaries and the podcast will be there. Do check them out. I think, if I remember, there's four up there at the moment. It's Amanda Flanders, Ali Harold, Beverly Bunn and Joe Dodds are the four at the moment. So do check them out, and there'll be more coming along once the lockdown's over and they can record some more. So let's have a bit of music and we'll get our next guest on the phone and we'll go from there. Magic.
This is Channel 2.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. Hopefully I'm joined on the phone now by Sarah Wilkinson. Good afternoon, Sarah.
Afternoon. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. Sarah is from Thackeray Williams, who are a Sevenoaks-based law firm. Sarah, why don't you kick off by telling us a little bit about your firm and then a little bit about you and your special subjects?
Yeah, sure. So the firm, you say Sevenoaks-based, our head office is actually in Bromley. We do have an office based out in Sevenoaks. We've got another one in West Wickham in Kent, and we have also just opened up a London office, although I say opened up, it's quite difficult to get in there at the moment.
Yeah, sure. Well, that was brave of you opening an office under these circumstances.
Absolutely, but unfortunately none of us had a crystal ball, did we?
That's so true. tell us a little bit about the firm. How long has the firm been going? What's the size? Does it specialise or is it a general law firm?
So it's a general law firm. We've got probably around about 150 employees in total, I'd say. We've got 10 equity partners, 30 partners in total. We don't specialise in one particular area. We're very well known in the local area for doing our wills and conveyancing, so the private client support and conveyancing support in the local area and beyond. But I'd say one of our main offerings at the moment, which is bringing in the money, is the business side of things.
Sure.
So we've got a very good commercial team who work on all the commercial property conveyancing, company commercial issues, and also commercial employment law issues.
Right.
And that's where I come in. I'm one of the employment law specialists in the Bromley office.
Okay, cool. So you, like a lot of people, I mean, we've kind of been talking about this quite a lot with guests so far. You've had to adapt your business to suit the circumstances we're under, and you've done some changes, I understand, as well.
Absolutely. I think any business would struggle to be performing in exactly the same way as they were pre-coronavirus.
Yep.
We're doing everything we can to try and support businesses in the wake of the virus, because it's not just businesses local to us, but across the region and across all industries that are facing challenges, and trying to make plans for what looks to be a fairly uncertain future at the moment.
Sure.
So we've set up a sort of dedicated support line, which offers free advice for any businesses that are in immediate need in relation to the current crisis.
Mm. I mean, it, as you say, that there's a lot going on there. You know, so many businesses are struggling and will continue to struggle, unfortunately. We live in unprecedented times. The government have introduced a lot of different schemes in very quick order. A lot of people kind of fall through the cracks. But I don't even know if you want to comment on this, but I've been mentioning the last couple of weeks how astounded I am by how many small businesses don't even seem to understand how they're constructed.
How the businesses themselves are constructed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
the amount of people that have said to me, "Oh, I'm self-employed, but I'm paid by dividends," and you go, "No, you're not. you can either be self-employed or paid by dividends, but you can't be both at the same time. They're different."
That's absolutely right. and you say the government have introduced a whole host of new rules and regulations, and you're right. It's actually quite astounding how quickly they're managing to get everything out. I'm sure there are plenty of holes and cracks within everything that has come out, and I know for sure within the employment sphere there's already plenty of chat about how the actual legislation differs from the guidance on the website.
Yeah.
those schemes that have been put into place will definitely help both employers, employees, and the self-employed.
Mm.
The one group of people that I think won't be helped by it are the people that have made the most out of the current rules to try and pay as little tax as possible, if I can put it that way.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So not that they're doing anything wrong, But they're definitely working the system to their favour, which I think probably won't be to their favour now that these new schemes are in place.
Absolutely. And as you say, I mean, there's a degree of sympathy because obviously a lot of people were advised by accountants to set up in that particular way because it was an effective way of running a business until a pandemic hit. For those that don't understand what we're talking about, basically a lot of single-person service companies that are limited companies, the sole director pays themselves a kind of minimum wage that comes below the tax threshold and then pays himself in dividends at the end of the year, which attract a slightly less higher rate of tax. But, of course, the government aren't paying out on dividends. They're only paying out on what you paid yourself in salary. And if you only paid yourself $8,000, you're only going to get 80% of that, which isn't a lot of money.
that's absolutely right.
Yeah. You know, whilst you have a lot of sympathy for people in that situation, you can't solve every problem, can you, in such a short space of time. It was interesting because the job retention scheme website finally opened yesterday for applications. And I've got to say, I'm not always HMRC's biggest fan, but they did do remarkably well to get that up, and they only had one very small technical glitch at the start of yesterday. And I think they, you might know better than I do, Sarah, I think I heard they had something like, was it 5 million applications yesterday?
Yeah, I heard that as well, and it went live at 5:30 in the morning.
Yep.
By 6 o'clock in the morning, they had 67,000 applications.
Yeah.
That's in the first 30 minutes. So, yes, they had one slight blip. I think it might have crashed, well, maybe a few times yesterday morning. Mm. I wonder whether that was actually HMRC sort of holding off traffic.
Yeah.
But so far as I've heard, people seem to be putting in their claims and it seems to be working without too much of a major hiccup anyway. So fingers crossed, that should be mean payouts coming your way for in the next 6 working days, I think they're promising.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it really is a remarkable turnaround. When they said that they were hoping to have the scheme in, or the portal in place by the end of April, and they got it in by the 20th with payments due 6 working days later, they've done pretty well in my view.
Yeah, no, they've done exceptionally well. They've now set a benchmark as far as I'm concerned.
Definitely.
Sorry about that, I had to get that dig in. I want to talk to you about some of these issues that, as a law firm, that you are seeing or maybe will see as well, Sarah. Obviously, the job retention scheme is an attempt to keep businesses afloat and to keep people employed for as long as they can. Sadly, I don't think that's going to work for a lot of businesses. Cash flow is such, and the lack of business. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the problems that small businesses face, of course, is once we're allowed back to do business, they haven't actually got any business to do. They've got to go.
They've completely shut down during the this time.
Yeah, so they've got to go and build up a pipeline, and that pipeline has got to pay the debts that they've already incurred while they were closed. Pay for them while they're doing, you know, so it's going to be hellishly difficult for a lot of small firms that run quite close to the knuckle anyway. So I think the job retention scheme has just delayed the inevitable by a few months for a lot of people, unfortunately. But as an employment lawyer, I want to talk to you about that because employment law still stands, does it not? And if you're going to lay off staff, you've got to go through the correct procedures.
That's absolutely right. So with furloughing of staff, there's been quite a lot of talk about it recently as to what are those correct procedures. Mm. And it's important that you do have an agreement between employer and employee that the employee will no longer work during that time and that they're willing to take a pay cut if that's happening as part of that furlough arrangement. What there are, isn't involved in furlough arrangements are consultation obligations in the same way that you would see in any redundancies.
Mm.
I would unfortunately have to agree with you and say that I'm sure we're going to see a huge number of redundancies on the back of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perhaps we are delaying the inevitable. I think that small businesses and, well, all size businesses will need to be very live to the fact that those consultation obligations that come into play in redundancy situations will need to be followed very strictly. If those are started whilst employees are on furlough, then that's fine. It's possible to do that, but they do still need to make sure that they go about it the right way to avoid any potential future claims.
Mm.
And unfortunately, I think we're going to see a fair number of claims on the back of the situation that we're in, not just in relation to unfair dismissals and redundancies. But perhaps on the health and safety side, I wonder whether some employees were subjected to some form of detriment by refusing to come into work because of the risk of infection, that sort of thing.
Sure, yeah.
If any dismissals occur because of that, then I think employers are going to struggle to defend any of those claims.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm with you on that. I worry for the economic longevity of this country for a long, long time after this. You know, the job miracle that we had before this all occurred, with 32 million people in employment, was almost entirely down to small businesses and the rate of small business startups. And unfortunately, we're going to see the reverse. We're going to see a huge number of small businesses go out of business.
That's absolutely right.
And it is so sad. It's so sad. If only there was something we could do about it. Now, I'm not sure if you know about this or if it's in your area at all, Sarah, but I do understand that the government is also introducing some new insolvency laws to help business and companies that will struggle. And the main plank of this is, as you're probably aware, if you trade knowing that your company is insolvent, that can be termed as a criminal activity.
Yeah, you're completely out of my area now, I'm afraid.
Yeah, sure. Okay, I thought I might be, but it's just worth mentioning because...
It's absolutely worth mentioning, yeah. That's a very interesting point. And I'm sure we're going to see so many companies now going into administration or at least becoming insolvent in some way. And it's definitely something to be aware of.
Yeah. Well, the government are introducing some emergency legislation to minimise the impact of that rule. And what they've said is they're going to relax that rule somewhat so that you can try to trade your way out of the problem, yeah, knowing that you're insolvent at the moment. But they will be keeping an eye on it, and they will still prosecute people that they think have, you know, pulled the wool in some way. But it's interesting that they've recognised that as well as a potential.
It is. All I can say is insolvency practitioners are probably going to be the ones that are absolutely laughing at the end of this.
Yeah, it's like anything, isn't it? You know, there are winners and losers in all kinds of things like this. There are businesses that are, you know, like the supermarkets, for instance, and my corner shop that have really thrived. And my little corner shop has done a fantastic job getting, you know, basic supplies in and being there for people.
Yeah, and mine has as well.
Yeah. You know, they've been absolutely brilliant, and I for one, and I hope other people continue to use them after this is over, because they've been a godsend. So you know, those kind of businesses have thrived during this, for want of a better term, and also obviously healthcare and things like that. Other businesses have taken a hit. Like so many things, though, this will throw up opportunities, because I don't think the landscape's going to be the same at all as it was before we close this down. And I don't know if you've got any thoughts about that, Sarah, how you see things changing. But again, in employment terms, I think we will see a big, big demand again for more flexibility of working from home.
It's interesting that you say that. I work, my husband that I'm currently sharing my dining room table with as an office is he works in IT support, and he said he's astounded at he works in a for a law firm up in London, and he's astounded at how easily they have managed to get their 600 plus workforce working from home in such a short period of time.
Yeah.
The number of issues that have been logged are minimal in comparison to what they were expecting, and it just begs the question as to is there a need for these law firms and other such companies up in London to be paying premium rate rents for office space that they just don't really need?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's going to be a sea change in it, and I think there'll be some interesting work to come your way out of this as well. One of the big, my background, funnily enough, was also in IT support in the city. Many years ago, I worked in investment banking. One of the big issues is a lot of people have asked for more flexible working by working from home, and the answer was, well, no, it's too difficult, and da, 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 but I'm afraid we just put that to bed because it proved that it's not too difficult. So I think there's going to be a huge demand uplift in people wanting to work at home part of the time. I don't think anybody wants to work at home full time because that can be as bad as anything else. But
yeah, we've all been put off that now, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. We've learnt how that can go bad on you. But again, from an employment law point of view, from your point of view, are there any things that we ought to be thinking about if we are going to work from home more as employers as much as employees?
Yes, so I would always be encouraging my my employer clients to make sure that they've got a proper home working policy in place so that both they and employees understand exactly what is required of them.
Yeah.
I think as soon as they see any reduction in the workflow from an employee who's working from home persistently, then it's just not going to work out, is it? Mm. And so there's many ways of being able to keep track of what's happening.
Sure. Yeah.
So ensuring that your workforce remain effective as they work from home, making sure that health and safety obligations continue to be complied with, people have got the equipment that they need, that sort of thing. But really maintaining a line of communication is the most important thing.
Sure.
And that I think is probably what we've all found now from having worked from home. Mm. Having that line of communication and having some kind of contact with your immediate line manager, your colleagues, and your team, and the companies that you work for as a whole. It's quite astounding what has come out of it. We've just had a firm quiz all over Zoom.
Yeah, absolutely.
and it is possible to stay in touch and to still feel like you're part of a firm family.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people are using a product called Slack, which is a team meeting piece of software.
Well, that's one I've not heard of.
Yeah, it's very popular. Slack, it's called, and it enables you to. It's a bit like. I might be doing them a disservice. It's what I would call corporate WhatsApp, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, where you form a work group there and you can all communicate with each other within that work group. And that's a big one that's keeping teams, as you were quite rightly saying, one of the big things about working from home is talking to your colleagues, staying in touch, you know, what they used to call. I used to work for an American investment bank, so it was cooler room meetings. But, you know, basically the kind of things that you chat about at a coffee room and stuff like that, you can use Slack or similar products to do that. So there's loads of technology about to do it. I think we've proved the technology works because we've implemented it pretty quickly.
Absolutely. I don't actually know many people that have had a huge number of difficulties.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So the technology has proved itself. It is there. I think there will be a bit, you know, because it's not so much working from home. It's working flexibly that is the big driver behind a lot of this, I think.
Mm.
I own a community hot desking space in Canterbury. And the interesting thing there is when we first opened it 9 years ago, we had a lot of corporate home workers that actually worked in Fruitworks because they didn't actually like working from home. But what they didn't like even more was commuting to work.
Commute, yeah.
So, and then some of them made a mess of it by trying to claim. We only charged £10 a day to be there, and they tried to claim it on their expenses. And dear old corporate head office said, if you want to work in an office, we've got one here, so come in and use that. But yeah, interesting days. Sarah, look, it's been fantastic to talk to you. Well done on the things that you're offering your clients and the people that you're supporting. Give us a shout out if you can for the support line number that people can ring to get your advice.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a free support line. It's not just for existing clients. We'd stress that it's for anyone that has got any need to ask for free legal support on COVID-19 related issues. The number to call is 0208 663 4127. That's manned between 8:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday to Friday, and you will end up either speaking to me or one of my team or one of my commercial colleagues as well, and we can give all sorts of advice around issues relating to how your business has been affected as a result of this pandemic.
So it's
0208 663 4127, and any further advice is also available on our website, which is www.thackraywilliams.com.
Fantastic. Sarah, thank you so much for that. It's fascinating. Just one last question, because while you were saying that, it suddenly sprung into my mind. Do you think there will be an impact on law firms in terms of going forward of doing more things by video call and stuff like that rather than client meetings?
Definitely. I think once the technology is in place for video calls within the office, I can't really see the need for clients to be making the journey to come and see us in our offices. Mm. We would already say that there's never really a need to meet someone face to face, although we like to.
Sure.
But there's absolutely going to be a change in the way not just law firms work, but everybody works as a result of this.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if your views on this, but even medicine, you know, all GP appointments at the moment have been taking place by Zoom or, you know, phone or WhatsApp. And again, I think that's something that may continue in a more robust way.
Definitely.
Once we've moved on. Look, Sarah, it's been fascinating to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Do stay safe, and we'll hope to talk to you again soon.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sarah. Bye.
Bye.
Now. Bye. Sarah Wilkinson there from Thackray Williams, the law firm, talking about their NOS support line that's open to anybody that has any questions about COVID-19 and business support. I will put the helpline telephone number on the homepage of the Kent Business Radio website later on this afternoon, so it will be there so that you can find it and you can check it out. So huge thanks to Sarah. We've still got tweets coming in. Southeast Business Expo have saying the Maidstone Business Awards are looking for the best business in Maidstone. Could it be your business? The entries are now open, and to lodge your entry for the Maidstone Business Awards, if you go to businesswardskent.co.uk, you can find all the categories there. There are a dozen or so different categories that you can enter, all the entry criteria. And you can enter your business for the Maidstone Business Awards. Now, I might be talking out of turn, but we've kind of missed the award dinner for the Canterbury Business Awards, although that's still going to go ahead. I think what they're doing is planning one giant awards dinner for Maidstone, Ashford and Canterbury, which are the ones that will have been missed due to the lockdown. So do stay tuned for when the awards dinner and the finals will take place. But at the moment, if you're in the Maidstone area, you can nominate yourself for an award by going to businesswardskent.co.uk, looking at the criteria, filling that out and applying. I had a tweet from Justin Dean. Hi, Vanilla Web. Sorry, I missed the first part of the show. Had to tie up some loose ends in London. I'm listening now. Hello, Justin. And Justin's from Creative Motion, audio-visual systems integration people. So do give Justin a follow, Justin W. Dean, D-E-A-N, on the Twitter. Thanks, Justin. Glad you could join us. I'm just trying to catch up with any tweets that I may have missed, because we've been very busy with tweets today and lots of interesting things, and I don't want to miss any of them. I'll come back to that in a moment, because I need to tell you about this. Here on the Business Bunker, not quite in the same way as Thackray Williams, but we've put together a blog that has all the links to each of the borough councils and Medway Council and Kent County Council and their COVID support lines, their support packages, and all the information available in your area. There's also links to Produced in Kent, Age UK, and I'll tell you about that in a minute, and the Kent and Medway Growth Hub. You can find all of that in one place on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/coronavirus, you'll find all those links. And one of the links is for Age UK, and it's a befriending service. And it's for people that are isolated, living alone, and have got no one to talk to. or very few people to talk to. So it's a website where you can find like-minded people, exchange contact details, be they phone numbers or email addresses or however you want to talk to someone, and you can make a friend. While we're locked down, I think it's a really great idea. The links for that are also on the coronavirus page, so do check that out. Sometimes we don't think about that, you know, people are isolated. Even in the southeast of England here, there are people that live in isolated areas like the Romney Marsh and the Isle of Thanet and places like that. Obviously, they can't get out. And they're not seeing anyone, and maybe they're not hearing from anyone. So do check out that befriending service, or if you know anyone in that situation, let them know about it, because it could be a lifesaver. I'm just trying to organise my paperwork and read things out. I mentioned this a week or so ago, and I just want to re-emphasise it because I think it could be important. It's an email I got from a chap called Nick Wells, and he runs a company called Independent Pharma Consultants, and they're a pharmaceutical consulting company. And this is what he said. He said, "We at Independent Pharma Consultants are spearheading a project to look into treatment options to tackle the SARS-CoV-2 coronavirus and related COVID-19 diseases. And we're looking at using silver nanoparticles. Silver nanoparticles are a known antiviral, antibacterial and antifungal, and evidence exists to show how effective they are at preventing viral entry, preventing viral attachment and inhibiting viral replication. We have the expertise and relevant contacts within the industry to carry out the necessary research, development and registration to bring a silver nanoparticle product to market. However, to do this, we will require a large amount of funding and support. So we've created a GoFundMe page and greatly appreciate any donations you may be able to make to help support the project. As the managing director, I can assure you that the money received from GoFundMe will be used in support of the COVID-19 treatment project. If you want to learn more about the project, please contact us via the website or via email. And the email address is covid-19@ipcons.co.uk. Let me give that email address again. It's covid-19@ipcons.co.uk. We intend to keep people regularly updated via our website, related videos and press releases. The GoFundMe is gofundme.com/COVID-19 treatment project. Do check that out, have a look at it, read what it's all about, and if you're so inclined, make a donation. All right. We've still got tweets coming in, which is lovely. I've still got 20 or so emails to read. Let me just try and catch up with a few things.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Right, what have we got here? Shepherd Neame has provided a much-needed boost for local hop growers this week by placing a bumper order for Kentish hops. So basically what they've gone out and done to try and keep Kentish farmers in business, they've placed a massive order for the future, so a kind of futures contract, if you like, to buy in Kentish hops to turn into beer. What a fantastic thing. And they've done that through the help of helpkentbuylocal.co.uk, which is the Produced in Kent website that is looking to link up people that are making deliveries of food and drink, people that are selling food and drink in different ways. So do check that out as well, helpkentbuylocal.co.uk, for food and drink and deliveries in your area from local suppliers. And one of the big things that I think is going to come out of this this horrendous pandemic at the end is I think a lot more of us are going to think a lot more heavily about using local businesses, and that is as it should be. If we don't support our local businesses, we don't have local employment, we don't have a local economy, and we don't have good quality things coming into our homes. So I really do genuinely hope that we keep this localism going once the pandemic is over. Talking about that, Shep and Neame have teamed up with Copper Rivet, the gin makers, to create hand sanitizer. Faversham Brewery, Shep and Neame, is teaming up with Copper Rivet Distillery, based in Chatham Maritime, to create hand sanitizer for use by emergency services staff. Shep and Neame began brewing what they call clean beer for the initiative last Tuesday. This is at least 10% ABV and no hops will be used to ensure it's aroma and flavour free. The brew is then being road tankered to the Copper Rivet Distillery in Chatham, where it will be used as a feedstock for distilling alcohol to create the sanitizer. Well, well, well. I didn't realise that's how they made sanitizer. It's beerless beer, apparently. It's alcohol. If you're in the unfortunate situation of having lost or about to lose your job, you're going to have a huge financial hit. It's going to affect your ability to pay bills and bring in about an urgent need to reevaluate spending. If you're at risk, there are ways that you can protect yourself, and there's a guide available to help you do that. And the guide details how you can prepare financially, gives tips on minimizing the impact if it's happening to you, say if you're impacted by coronavirus, and outlines your rights to compensation. And you can find this guide by going to www.moneysavingexpert.com/family-redundancy-help. That's Martin Lewis's website, moneysavingexpert.com/family-redundancy-help. I had a look at that. I thought it was a really interesting and informative blog about what you can do to help protect yourself should, in a horrible instance of you being made redundant or losing your job or losing your income. It gives you some great advice about how you can go forward. We've also got a blog from Athelbrey that's on how to access your own money rather than using payday loans. Please, please, please don't use payday loans. Please, please, please don't run up huge credit card bills. Look at your finances first. And there's a lovely little blog written by Athelbrey telling you some of the things that you can do to release your own resources first. And you can find that by going to kempersisradio.co.uk/access money. That's kempersisradio.co.uk/access money. Okay. I'm trying to find things that I need. I've got so many. I've got about 40 emails here. And I'm trying to find things that need reading now because they're happening fairly soon. I've mentioned this before and I want to mention it again. The Cloth Workers Foundation, on Twitter, Cloth Workers FDN, they've got a response to the COVID-19 pandemic. They've launched a new grants service and they're funding capital grants up to £5,000 for charities with beneficiaries that are based outside of London. And they're for non-profits and charities with income up to £2 million. And they're offering a quick turnaround on grants of up to £5,000. As long as you're doing charitable work for a client group that are based outside of London. And you can find out about it by going to clothworkersfoundation.org.uk/clothworkers-emergency-capital-program. That's clothworkersfoundation.org.uk/clothworkers-emergency-capital-program. Do check that out if you're a not-for-profit or small charity that's looking for some support. What else have we got? I'm going to be talking more about this next week, and I've actually got a guest coming on to talk about this next week, but I'll give you a heads up on this first. We're connecting frontline workers affected by COVID-19 with free mental health and emotional wellbeing support. It's an organisation that has literally just sprung up called frontline19.com, frontline19.com. The entire project was created in lightning speed by a small team of therapists and psychologists in response to direct reports of trauma experienced by doctors and nurses on the front line. The service is live and it's free, and it's rapidly matching volunteer therapists and counsellors with frontline COVID-19 workers. But we need your help. We are processing data requests from frontline workers in need of emotional and psychological support. We have counsellors and psychologists and trauma specialists on standby, generously offering their expertise at no charge. It's totally free. With around 1,200 therapists now in our database and growing numbers of distress calls from doctors and nurses. They've been featured in the Independent newspaper and the Sunday Times, and they are working in partnership with Help Force and NHS practitioners. We're working entirely free and happy to do that, but we are looking for small donations to help with the running costs. So you can go to their GoFundMe page, which is gofundme.com/frontline19. Ellen Waldron from that group is my guest on next week's show, and we're going to be hearing from Ellen about this project, where they are with it, how they've got it up and running in such a short time, and the fantastic work they're doing. But in the meantime, gofundme.com/frontline19, and please try and support that fantastic initiative. Another support line that's available is the Kent and Medway Growth Hub. They have a COVID-19 business support hotline. It is open, and it's open from 8:30 until 6:30, Monday to Friday. And you can call them on 03333 602300. That's 03333 602300. That's the Kent and Medway Growth Hub business support hotline, or you can email them at business@kentandmedwaygrowthhub.org.uk, and that, obviously that's also the website, so that you can check that out and get help and support from there. I've lost my phone. What have I done with my phone? Oh, there it is. I've still got loads of tweets coming in. I'm sorry if I haven't got round to reading your tweet out. Just very quickly, I mentioned a few people. Bridger Howes have tweeted. Results in Wellness have tweeted again. Who else? We've got Zissy Social Media, the lovely Sam. Hello, Sam. What else have we got here? Sally Laker has tweeted in. I've got a tweet from the Business Diaries in reply to what Amanda asked earlier about what they liked and disliked about being locked down. And they're saying the best part is not having to use the car. And the worst part is not being able to interact with the family. That's true. I don't know if you saw, so many of us are not using cars that the price of a barrel of oil last night fell to -$40. That is, if you wanted a barrel of oil, they would give you $40 to take it away. And that's unheard of. And that is just showing you the scale of the financial meltdown globally. It is worrying. I know the price recovered a bit this morning with WTI, which the two benchmarks for oil are Brent crude and what's called WTI, which is West Texas Intermediate, which is sweet oil. WTI recovered a bit this morning, and was, I think the last time I looked, it was trading at something like $4 a barrel, which is still basically nothing. So very interesting how quickly the price of oil has dropped off, with us not using our vehicles so much. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I'm just trying to look through for urgent things before we go off air. There are some changes that came about in April. The minimum wage has gone up. The new national living wage for 25 years and over is now £8.72. For 21 to 24 year olds, it's £8.20. For 18 to 20 year olds, it's £6.45. And for under 18 but above school leaving age, it's £4.55. Apprentices under 19, £4.15. So that came into a force on the 6th of April. That's the new minimum wage. Sorry, on the 1st of April. That's the new national minimum wage rates. You do have to pay them. It still came into effect. It is still the law. Even if you're not at work at the moment, you do have to pay the new minimum wage rates. And I think that's brought us to the end of another hectic Business Bunker show. Thank you all so much for joining us on the show this week. Thank you to my two fantastic guests, Claire Bowley of Dynamic Conferences and Events and Sarah Wilkinson of Thackeray Williams Law Firm. Thank you so much for joining us and for tweeting and for emailing and being part of the show. We'll be back next Tuesday with another Business Bunker show. Please, everyone, please stay safe, stay indoors, stay distant from as many people as you can until we're through this really nasty thing. We'll be back next week. Thanks ever so much. See you all soon. Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.